It's Midday Matters, financial focus on WBOI, your home for NPR news and diverse music, and of course, Midday Matters. I'm Sean Beter, very glad to be with you on this Tuesday edition of our program. We have a fun one today. We're revisiting a topic that we know has been popular with listeners, and we've always had a lot of fun with as well. With me, of course, Susan Burns. Susan, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Sean. I'm glad we're taking one last swig of the beer topic.
That's right. Raising a glass one more time. This is The Business of Brewing Part 3, and we're talking today particularly about home brewing and about microbrewing across Indiana. And of course, if you have favorites in Michigan and Ohio, we'd love to hear about those as well. Call us. Share your thoughts about micro and craft brewing in the state of Indiana. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Of course, we want to hear from connoisseurs, but we also would love to hear from home brewers, folks who maybe hope that their passion becomes a business one day as well.
Yes, indeed. And we have, you've mentioned our guest, Tony Henry from Deer Park Irish Pub, one of our favorite publicans. Hi, Tony.
Hi, it's great to be back. Thank you so much.
And Shane Mock from Five Star Distributing, which is over in Columbia City, as I understand it, Shane.
That's correct. Great to be back and great to be alongside Tony.
Both of these guys have been with us for previous our previous programs on the business of brewing, and we appreciate you both being back with us. I want to get started with a bit of a news item here. We heard, I believe it was last week, that Indiana now has, I think it's 60 or more than 60 homegrown breweries right here in the state of Indiana, and that's either tripled or quadrupled and just in the past, I think, 4 years. Let me start with you, Shane Mock. Has this been, this has obviously been a trend that's been growing across the country really for the last 20 years. Can you just kind of bring us up to speed, I guess, on the latest explosion nationwide and then maybe focus in on Indiana just a little bit?
Sure. We've seen great growth in craft beer across the United States, and certainly Indiana's no exception. We've seen double-digit growth nationwide, really year over year for the past at least 5 years. In fact, last year, 2012, saw about a 15% growth in volume in craft beer nationwide. Mm. And Indiana's no exception to that with the number of new breweries coming online. It's definitely not a fad or a passing fashionable type of market. It's really grown and has some strong legs and roots that are planted deeply in a lot of local markets. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, I believe, continue to see some growth. Maybe not quite the explosion of breweries that we've seen sustained, but certainly some more breweries I would expect to see come online. We're growing almost at a rate of 2 per day across the U.S. right now.
Wow.
And that's pretty impressive. We're at 2,500 plus breweries nationwide.
And that's just craft breweries, not the big guys like Anheuser-Busch or InBev, I should say, and Miller and Coors and so forth.
Sure, sure. We're at 2,541 breweries right now nationwide. Next year, they expect to see that figure hit 3,000.
And of course, we have Matt Anthony's right here in Fort Wayne, some of the bigger players as well. You're wearing an Upland Brewing shirt from Southern Indiana. Mm-hmm. Sun King, Three Floyds, we talked about before the show started as well. So it's all over the state.
It is all over the state. Indianapolis has a good core of breweries that have really exploded. Sun King certainly is a big one to be mentioned. That's recently been made available to us here in Northern Indiana.
Tony Henry, you are known in Fort Wayne as one of the places to go for a pretty wide craft beer selection. Is this something that you've noticed, even just in the last few years, the spike in Hoosier breweries?
Absolutely.
Because you certainly have a lot of the national crafts in your shop.
Absolutely. it's amazing how I'm finding my patrons, clients, really wanting to drink locally. This whole concept, this whole philosophy, philosophical movement of people choosing local has really been, has come to a fever pitch. I mean, people are asking, requiring, wanting Flat 12 or wanting the Tritons, and these are Indianapolis breweries. Sun King. They want local, and I don't know really where this local concept green movement is coming from, but even this, the breweries are moving more towards a green, doing business in the green way, and we'll talk hopefully a little bit about that later in the show.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that right now. I mean, what you're talking about, brewers who are just becoming more environmentally sustainable.
Oh, absolutely. Just interesting. I've noticed that some of these breweries are taking the mash, the grain that is left over from brewing, and they're actually selling it to the local farmers, and then the farmers again are feeding their cattle, and then, of course, that steak, that food is actually brought back to the breweries, to the microbreweries, and the patrons, the clients are fed these great buffalo burgers and hamburgers, and actually, so it's just this whole concept of being environmentally sensitive, and it's just amazing, and Shane and I were just discussing yesterday a little bit about Sun King, how they moved to the can concept. And maybe, Shane, you want to talk about that, how you see that as being environmentally friendly.
Sure. The guys at Sun King have good, close relations with the guys out of Longmont, Colorado. Oscar Blues, certainly one of the innovators, pioneers in craft brewing with putting their product in cans for the consumer. Previously, we've always thought of canned beer maybe as being a little bit cheaper. However, it has distinct advantages, and Sun King saw those advantages. They really capitalized on that as being a packaging vessel that does not allow light in, so there will not be any skunking of the beer. There's very little headspace, so we're not going to have oxidation problems, or at least nearly not as quickly. You're going to have longer shelf life. It cools down almost immediately when you put it in a little chest of ice, and it's so portable. You can take it where glass cannot go. And certainly, as we talked about the environmental aspect of it, it's far less expensive to truck a trailer full of empty cans to the brewery. That's very little weight.
And this is the business show. I mean, both of you are in the business of beer. That's a selling point for consumers as well.
It's a big selling point, and it's 100% recyclable. The aluminum can is 100% recyclable. Glass bottles are a little over 80%. There's a little bit of waste, but with the can, it's really a vessel that can be reused almost infinitely over and over again. And with the liners they're putting today in the cans, there is you will not have beer to metal contact, so you won't have the metal taste that maybe people are familiar with in the years past. They've really gone away from that. It's a really a great way to package beer, and certainly innovative, and I think we'll see more of it.
We want to hear from you today. We are, of course, talking about the business of brewing. We're calling it part three since we've chatted about this topic before, and we hope you'll get involved in the conversation, whether you're a home brewer, an enthusiastic consumer, or just have a question or comment for our panelists. We hope you'll get in touch at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Tony Henry, how do you, and I think probably a lot of folks have this question when they go to Deer Park, how do you choose the beers that you bring into your shop?
Well, it's interesting. Another phenomenon that's surfacing in the craft beer industry is that these brewers are making seasonal beers. Seasonals. And so now we're in the heat of summer. Of course, the summer beers are out. So, of course, Sam Adams has the Summer Ale that's very popular. Of course, the Liney Kugel Summer Shanty is, we call it the poolside beer. Some men call it the lawnmower beer. So the wheat beers are very popular right now. So it's very interesting how these brewmasters out there are very clever. They're really kind of uniting us with nature. They're moving with the seasons of fall, summer, winter, and spring. And so in the spring, we're going to get the Bock beers. And these are the great Bocks that come from the abbeys, the monasteries, and where the monks were fasting for 40 days. And what did they do? They created a beer.
And where one of the world's most rare and famous beers come from as well, Westvleteren and 12, I think that beer is called.
Amen. That's very good. You know, I often joke with my patrons. Of course, when you're in a pub and you have a few pints, you begin to get a little levy in your thoughts. And I thought, you know, some of these great theological writings coming out of the medieval period, especially during the season of Lent, I was wondering, well, I wonder how much of a little bit of that pint popping was causing these lofty thoughts. But anyway, nevertheless, they were very mystical and have substance. But anyway, so I just want to share that for your listeners out there. But nevertheless, what's neat, Sean, is that we are getting these very dramatic seasonals. And so the folks know on the first day of baseball season, the Bell's Oberon, a great craft beer, is going to be cracked open, and they come running. And so it's interesting. It's very interesting.
It looks like we have a caller on the line here. And of course, if you'd like to get in touch with us this hour, call us at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. Send us a tweet at Midday Matters. I know we have a question on Facebook to get to as well. We'll get there in just a moment. First, let's open the phones and go to Kurt. Kurt, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello.
Hi there. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I had a question for the guests there. I was wondering if it's true if the craft beer tastes a lot better if you're listening to some really good music, like a band like Scratch and Sniff. Is that true or not?
Gentlemen?
I guess a question for you, Tony.
I'll venture that I've always found that to be the case. But,
I have to second that, Susan. I if you're listening to Scratch and Sniff, crafts go well with Scratch and Sniff, and it seems that we haven't really done a scientific investigation study on the craft beer levels. Do they augment when fine bands are playing? But I do know that when the blues are being sung, people might move more towards the old style or the Blatts or the PBRs. But of course, at Scratch and Sniff, I've heard you before out there, and I would tend to say that I'm sure your patrons probably snatch a craft.
Kurt, we appreciate the question. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. We do need to take a quick break here. We, of course, are talking about the business of brewing, part 3 on this edition of Midday Matters Financial Focus. We hope you'll get in touch with us. We do need to take a quick break, though. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, Questlove, the drummer with the hip-hop band The Roots, the house band for Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. They're about to move, along with Fallon, to The Tonight Show. Questlove has a new memoir about his life and obsessions, including Soul Train.
I could sit and watch all 1,100 episodes of just the intros of Soul Train.
Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation, clear, straight, open, from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne, August 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum online at indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and nonprofit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. Details at lakecitybank.com.
1221, it's Midday Matters on 89.1 WBOY, your home for NPR news and diverse music. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns. And Susan, we're having a lot of fun today, a celebration, in fact.
We are.
The business of brewing, our topic today.
I'll toast to that.
I certainly will as well. We hope you'll get in touch with us, so with your questions, your comments, your favorite Hoosier beers as well. It's 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And of course, whether you're an enthusiast or perhaps a home brewer, maybe you're interested in getting into the business, we'd love to hear about your aspirations as well. With us in studio here, Tony Henry, the proprietor of Deer Park Pub right here in Fort Wayne, and Shane Mock, craft beer specialist at Five Star Distributing. Gentlemen, this issue of so many micro and craft brewers getting into the game, Shane mentioned 2,500 nationwide at last count. That's an awful lot of brewers vying for a very small amount, it seems to me, of real estate, both on shelves and, of course, on taps. You know, even the biggest bars, they have what, Shane and Tony, maybe 20 taps mm-hmm. at most in their shop, typically. I want to start with you, Shane. How do you choose who you represent and who you say no to?
We start with looking at the brewery's portfolio, where they've been in businesses. Are they an upstart brewery? Have they been around a while? And how will they fit into our overall portfolio of products we carry, which is pretty wide and expansive. We represent over 55 craft breweries, I believe, right now, and that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And they're all almost like our kids. We want to see them grow. We want to build those brands, put those in the right accounts, the right shelf, and the right account, whether it be Tony Henry's Deer Park Inn or wherever it may be. So there's a lot of rationalization that goes through looking at the plans that the brewery has, expectations of us as a distributor. How can we help grow their brand? And that's where we really look at which brewery we're going to pick up.
And we should probably clarify here, nationwide there's a tiered distribution system. So unless you're somebody like Matt Anthony, let's say you brew and then sell in your own shop, you do have to go through a distributor to then get to a place like Deer Park.
That's correct. It's called a three-tier system, mm-hmm. where you begin with the brewer or the importer, and then it goes through a wholesaler or a distributor like ourselves, and then we sell directly to on-premise bars, restaurants, taverns, or off-premise, which would be your liquor store, grocery store, convenience store chains.
Mm-hmm. Tony Henry, a similar question to you. In terms of competition, we were talking over the break, you said it's awfully stiff.
It's very difficult. It is.
For a new brewer to get into the game successfully.
Absolutely. We have a new brewery company that actually has visited me in the last 3 months, probably half a dozen times, and this is Figure Eight out of Valparaiso, a brewery that's been in existence probably about 5 years now. They are self-distributing, so they're actually not going through a distributor. They actually, and apparently the law allows for that, for them mm-hmm. to self-distribute. It's much more challenging for them. It's much more labor-intense, but they are making an effort, and they're providing a very fine beer, Figure Eight. They have a nice Sasseon beer, which I happen to bring one into the shop here.
Tony, we should emphasize they're not open, but Tony brought some visual aids for us today.
That kind of helps me with my communication here. And this is a Sasseon L, and very popular. Although they are struggling with their growth because they have not piggybacked onto a great distributor like Five Star that has done a marvelous job. But one of the challenges that I'm presented with is that I carried 13 lines. Mm-hmm. And I'm real
13 taps.
Yeah, 13 taps, mm-hmm. yes. And I'm very comfortable with that range. I sometimes I feel that if I augment any further, I know by this business I've been in 15 years now, how fast you can turn a barrel. And there's, you know, six barrels now and half, six barrels, about 2.5 gallons of beer, or 5.5 gallons and about 2.5 cases. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, a half barrel is about 7.5 cases of beer. And so after a while, it's kind of an art. It's all in timing. And I like to turn the beers, particularly when we're getting these seasonal beers. You don't want a spring beer sitting on your tap in the summer. Mm-hmm. And so I don't like to go any further than 12 or 13. For me, it's very manageable. Now, other places will have larger lines, and they have probably a greater customer base where they can justify that. But to me, I turn it. And so when my salesmen come in, whether it's Alco or Cavalier or Five Star or perhaps Figure Eight, they look at my lines, and of course, I mean, they're licking their chops for that line. They want a line. And
is that common for particularly craft brewers to go directly to retailers to bars and offer samples, let's say, to the owner?
Yes.
I mean, is that
yes, absolutely. They do that. Yes. Five Star has been very good about that, but even Five Star's distributors or Five Star's companies that they deal with will actually come in and you know, Flat 12 was in some time ago, and without it, you're even knowing it, and saying, you know, Five Star distributes our beer, but we just wanted to meet you personally, and trying to, you know, create a relationship.
And we're talking about the business of brewing. It's Beer Show Part 3 on this Midday Matters Financial Focus. We are so glad to have you along with us, and we hope you'll participate in the conversation today. If you have any favorite Indiana craft brewers, we hear there are about 60 now. Please share your thoughts with us at 800-471-9264. If you have a question or comment more generally about craft brewing or perhaps home brewing, we'd love to hear that as well. You can email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, of course, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. I promise we'll get to our email and Facebook questions in just a moment here. First, though, we do have a call on the line from, let's see here, it's Elena. Elena, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am unfortunately one of the segment of the population who has the gene that makes beer taste bitter.
Hmm.
Now, I was wondering if there was a product that is brewed that does not use hops, which makes the beer taste bitter to me.
Hmm. It's a very, very good question, Elena. Tony Henry, Shane Mock, any thoughts for Elena?
Almost all the brews produced today have hops added to offset the sweetness that malt naturally gives to the beer, to bring beer, whether it's in the balance or perhaps a beer where the flavor emphasis is on the hops. It could be the other way. Very little hops can be emphasize the malt character. With that type of diagnosis and palate, I don't know of any beer that does not use hops. Though occasionally I've seen some beers produced out of Scotland that are brewed with traditional herbs, ancient herbs, but those add bitterness to the beer as well. And those were used before hops began to actually replace those herbs, such as bog myrtle. There's a few others that are that mugwort's another one that are used to add bitterness to the beer to bring it into balance.
Hmm.
Perhaps, you know, ciders may be a place to go.
Going to say a growing segment of the craft, really the drinking population. It's cider.
Cider is red hot. As fast as craft brewing is growing, ciders are even growing faster.
Yes, they are.
Hmm. So.
I like cider.
Good. Oh, good. Very
There's
good.
There's a choice.
Well, Elena, we hope you find the right fit and good luck.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We appreciate your call. Thank you. 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. Send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We had a Facebook question here, Susan, from Michelle.
Yeah, and it fits right in with where we are right now talking about ingredients, because Michelle wonders about gluten-free.
Any Hoosier breweries, as far as you guys know, creating gluten-free beers right now? I know there are a handful of nationwide that are on the shelves, but any thoughts locally?
Not locally at the present time. I think there's still some development that needs to take place to produce beer that still maintains the integrity, flavor that one expects from beer, whether it's craft beer or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple products that we carry in our portfolio that are gluten-free. Greens is a line from Belgium that produces an amber ale, a Belgian double, and a Belgian triple that you can find at the retail outlets around Fort Wayne, also a couple of on-premise places as well. Those are gluten-free. Hmm. We also carry a very low-gluten content beer called Daura from Spain, and it's made from barley. They have a proprietary process whereby they strip the gluten out of the beer, almost out to, I believe it's 5 parts per billion.
Wow.
And I've tasted that beer. It does not taste any different than any other European lager. It has a great overall flavor profile. I think we'll see some more development when keeping that, maintaining that flavor of craft beer, but also giving someone has gluten sensitivity or gluten intolerance an alternative and a product that they can still enjoy.
Tony Henry, very briefly, is that a demand you see popping up at Deer Park, or maybe not yet?
Surfacing more and more. And sometimes we just tell the folks that at this time, I don't have a gluten, but I turn them to the ciders, and the ciders is where I park them, and they enjoy them, but they're looking forward to the day where they can actually taste a beer that tastes more of the beer hoppy with gluten-free.
All you homebrewers in northeastern Indiana, get on it.
Yes,
the demand is there.
Mm-hmm.
We have time for another caller before we have to take a break here. And, of course, if you want to get in touch, that number one more time, it's 800-471-9264. Let's open the phones back up and go to Karen. Karen, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, Tony and Susan, especially. It's Karen Goldner. I missed the time for the day, but I heard your show. My question is, other than the specific seasonal ones that you were talking about, Tony, do you notice over the course of a year that people drink, like, I don't know, more dark beer at different times of the year, or, you know, different brands or whatever? And I'll go ahead and take my question off the air.
Karen, we appreciate the call. Thanks so much for calling in.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. Nice to hear your voice. Karen, absolutely. When it's bitter cold, Old Man Winter is hounding us. The stouts and the oatmeal stouts, the tap lines will open and they will flow. The barley wines is another more of a seasonal. And again, that's more of a winter type of beer. It's amazing, Karen, but I will have customers that will come in and they know when the box are being released in the springs, the wheats, in the summers, and the fruit beers in the summers. And then when you get into the Oktoberfest beers, some great, all the dark ambers, stouts. It's really amazing. And I can tell when a person comes in that they are craft beer enthusiasts, beer lovers. They know what beer to choose in the season.
We do need to take a quick break for the news here. I know we have many more questions to get to. And if you want to add your voice to the conversation today, you can email us middaymatters@nipr.fm. Our Facebook page is open. Our Twitter feed's open as well. And if you'd like to call us, we'd love to hear from you at 800-471-9264. It's the business of beer on this edition of Midday Matters Financial Focus. Stay with us.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOI News. Governor Mike Pence has appointed a longtime lawyer and court magistrate to the Allen County Superior Court in Fort Wayne. Craig Bobay will fill a vacancy created by the transfer of Judge Daniel Heath to the Family Relations Division to replace Judge Stephen Sims, who retired in April. The governor's office says Bobay is a Fort Wayne native who attended Indiana University Purdue University Fort Wayne and graduated cum laude from Indiana University School of Law Bloomington. He has 22 years of experience practicing law in Allen County and has served as a local court magistrate since 1997. The Allen County Judicial Nominating Commission submitted Bobay's name along with two others to Pence for his consideration. The Indiana Economic Development Corporation is deploying a new marketing campaign aimed at reducing the state's unemployment rate. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
Governor Mike Pence often said on the campaign trail he wanted to make Indiana the state that works. The Indiana Economic Development Corporation is borrowing that slogan for its new marketing campaign. State Secretary of Commerce Victor Smith says the campaign will use a broad-based approach that incorporates its new website.
Handheld type of electronic media to web-based media to online article-based media, and also advertising within the airport with actual signage all the way down to electronic media.
The IEDC is spending an average of $80,000 per month on the campaign and plan to do that until the end of the year. Smith says the primary goal of the campaign is job creation, based on the governor's charge that the IEDC helped the state's private sector employ more people than at any time in the state's history.
And that high water mark is from the year 2000. That high water mark is 2,549,000. So that goal plus one is my success factor.
As of last week, the state is still about 160,000 people short of that mark. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
The Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles is reminding Hoosier motorists that all of its license branches will be closed Thursday, July 4th, in observance of the Independence Day holiday. Most license branches will resume normal business hours on Friday, July 5th. 16 license branches with different operating hours will reopen on Tuesday, July 9th. This afternoon, we may see scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 3 p.m., and some of those storms could produce small hail, gusty winds, and heavy rain. Otherwise, a mostly sunny day with a high near 88. Overnight, we have a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, and some of those storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain, and we'll see a low of 71. And looking at Wednesday, there's another chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m. But other than that, we'll have partly sunny skies with a high near 89 and heat index values as high as 96. You're listening to Midday Matters on 89.1 WBOI, your home for NPR news and diverse music.
It's 12:38. This is Midday Matters Financial Focus on 89.1 WBOY. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, and we're talking today one more time about the business of brewing. Of course, we just heard in the last few weeks that Indiana's surpassed 60 craft brewers in the state now, and we're pretty darn excited. So we want to hear from you today. What's your favorite Hoosier brewery? What's your favorite craft brew, and why? And if you're a home brewer or somebody with aspirations to start your own business in this field, we'd love to hear about that as well. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email us middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, send us a tweet at Midday Matters. I know we have a number of folks online. We're going to get to you in just a moment. First, though, we had a question on Facebook here, or a comment on Facebook. I was just in Vermont. This is from Vicky, I should say. I was just in Vermont and was lucky enough to visit the brewery that makes Hetty Topper. They're just remodeling their brewery to make it more green. People come on Mondays just to pick up the beer, and there's a two-case limit. It was really an eye-opener. A few restaurants had it on tap. Would it be possible to get this beer into Fort Wayne? And this is something we were kind of talking about a bit earlier. There's an awful lot of competition and an awful lot of very good beer competing for just a little bit of space. Shane Mock.
Right. The brewery is called The Alchemist that produces Hetty Topper, and that has quite a notoriety and following behind it. Unfortunately, a lot of the breweries that are the size of The Alchemist, fairly small, pretty small distribution footprint in the Northeast, they will not just expand and produce, they do not have the capacity to produce enough beer for other markets. Obviously, we would not be the only market clamoring for a liquid as good as Hetty Topper, but they just don't have the capacity to produce enough for our market, let alone territories between state of Indiana and Vermont. So a lot of it does become a case of just not having enough capability and capacity to produce enough liquid.
But I'm sure if there's an uprising among the enthusiast community here, opinions can change too.
It could.
We have a quick note here from Scott before we get back to the phones here. Scott from Trine University says, "What a great show! My wife and I support the station and listen constantly. Thank you, Scott. You may not know that we're starting Chapman's Brewing here in Angola. We're going into production into July. Great story about working with the university, the community, and the unbelievable growth in craft beer and cider. And Tony Henry, I know you've seen this at Deer Park. Beer, it really is it's a community sport.
It's something that takes support. And I know about Chapman's. I know that they are about ready to break open those barrels. I'm so proud knowing that that Angola, you know, borders pretty much Michigan, and Michigan has, we know Hoosiers know, has been putting out some phenomenal beers, from Founders to Bell's to New Holland and on and on and on, Greenbush. But hearing that Chapman's in Angola is ready to come into the market. We applaud that. We look forward very much to visiting you all, Chapman's. And I hear this beer is just going to be phenomenal. Shane, do you want to say something a little bit about Chapman's as well?
Sure. I was fortunate enough to have a taste of it. In fact, Chapman's came to our sales meeting we have on Friday mornings at Five Star a couple of weeks ago, where we were able to sample a pilot batch of their what they call ale cider. It is an ale. It's barley malt hops yeast. Mm-hmm. And they add fermented cider, apple juice to it as well. So wow. It's not back sweetened with any concentrate. It's real apples. And you can definitely delineate the flavor between the beer components, the malt and the hops you can taste, and then the wonderful aroma and flavor that a fresh apple cider will give you. And it really had that wonderful combination of flavors. It was unique. It was different. And I think they've got a real winner, and I'm excited to see where they're going to go from there.
Well, Scott, congratulations on the impending launch, and thanks for the heads up. It sounds like a fantastic opportunity for the folks in Angola. Susan, I believe we have a few patient callers.
We do,
on the
Sean.
Line here.
Let's take Megan on line four, I believe.
All right, Megan. Good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, how's it going? I just wanted to quickly make a comment on the gluten-free conversation you guys were having a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. I'm actually from Oregon, and I'm just here visiting family, and I'm super excited to hear that all this brewing is going on in Northeast Indiana, first of all. It's awesome.
Oregon, a big hub for the craft business.
I'm from Bend, Oregon.
All right.
Oh, my.
Seventh best beer city in the country, I believe. We are.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm getting nods in the studio. Sorry, go ahead.
So I wanted to just throw in that there's a great gluten-free beer that's being made by Widmer Brewing, and that's located in Portland, so it's not local, but, you know, for gluten-free stuff, it's the best I think I've had by far. It's a pale ale, and it's called Omission, so I just wanted to throw that out there. I know they're going to be distributing it nationally, so you should be able to get it here in Northeast Indiana.
Very cool. I'm seeing excitement in the studio here as
yes,
well.
Yes, actually, we have Widmer's. That's provided through Alco Distributing. So that beer is available. And thank you, Karen.
Megan,
pardon me. Megan, thank you for that insight. And I will talk to my salesman and see if we could bring that in. Thank you, Megan.
Yeah, no problem. I know they also just finished a gluten-free IPA. So keep an eye out for that.
Really?
Too.
Wow.
Good,
okay.
Good news for the gluten-free folks in our audience. Megan, we appreciate the heads up. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right. You too. We have about 15 minutes left in the program here, and we'd love to hear more suggestions, whether it's gluten-free beers or your favorites. And we'd also love to hear from the entrepreneurs, I should say, in our audience today. Maybe you're a home brewer. Maybe you have ambitions toward starting your own line. We have another caller on the line here. Let's open the phones back up and go to Carrie. Carrie, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good day. Just two quick comments. One, I want to say with the local breweries in Indiana, I'm not an Indiana native, but a transplant from Wisconsin, and just seeing how much local craft brewers support local community initiatives has been such a big thing. Like, I'll have a good beer every once in a while, but I want to drink it more because they support the initiatives and the nonprofit groups that I really support myself. So that's a big draw for me in local and craft brews. The other thing is like you were talking with on the East Coast, some of the breweries that don't distribute as far. For me, my home state has New Glarus, and they don't distribute out of Wisconsin.
to the best of my knowledge. And it's a destination beer. You know, I have to go home to get it. And the brewery tour is kind of legendary across the state. So for me, those are the things that really make me dig into local craft beers, because they have these stories and a little more depth than the broadly distributed beers.
That's a fantastic point. Susan, yeah. You wanted to get in there.
I did, Carrie, and I'm glad you brought up the visiting the brewery approach, because I think that's another aspect of the craft beers that is kind of new in the culture, is you can add it to to your vacation itinerary as a destination.
Exactly. They want to see excited patrons come in that maybe making a visit through, passing through town, and see the consumers and talk to them and hear their story about how they first tasted their beer and what they think of it. And as she mentioned, it's very passionate. This is really a local grassroots organic movement that's really has some long legs behind it. And I think, as we've talked about, it's going to continue to see grow.
And how can you pass up on a beer named Spotted Cow?
Right.
I don't think you can. Carrie, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. 800-471-9264 is the number if you'd like to get your voice in on this conversation about the business of brewing. We do need to take a quick break here. We hope you'll stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
I'm like a size 100 now. Anyway, I paid like $2 for it. I look like a whore locked out of her apartment.
That's a sketch about how girls respond to compliments from other girls from the Comedy Central show Inside Amy Schumer. On the next Fresh Air, we ask Amy Schumer if she's as slutty as her onstage comic persona. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Singer-songwriter and former French First Lady Carla Bruni wanted to write a love song to her husband Nicolas Sarkozy, but she had a rhyming problem.
I wasn't going to sing Nicolas, you know, and I tried.
So instead, she calls him Raymond. Carla Bruni's Little French Songs today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation, clear, straight, open, from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Ten minutes till 1 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Matters Financial Focus on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, and we're talking about, well, one of our historically most popular topics on this program. It's the business of beer, the business of brewing as well. And of course, we want to hear from you. Call us at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm. Of course, we have our Facebook page up as well, along with our Twitter feed. Susan Burns is here, of course. And Susan, a few experts on our panel today.
We do. We have Tony Henry from Deer Park Irish Pub and Shane Mock from Five Star Distributing. And we've just been noticing we've had a lot of women callers. And I think that's kind of interesting in that I think craft beers do appeal to women. Do you guys see that at the pub and in the business?
I am seeing that. I am seeing that heartily. Ladies coming in and wanting a good IPA, which traditionally is very hoppy and it takes some getting used to.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll make your nose swell, the hops, but it's amazing. Ladies come in, I hear you've got Two Hearted. I already have Two Hearted Ale, right?
One of my favorites.
You have Hop Slam, and like to have a hop slam, and it's amazing. The women are really venturing out into the beer field.
It looks like we have a handful of callers here. I don't know if we'll be able to get to everybody on the program, so please be patient with us here. Let's see if we can't open the phones and go to, oh gosh, who do we have? Let's go to Colin on line one. Colin, are you with us there? Hi there, Colin. Looks like we have we've lost Colin for the moment here. Let me see if we can get another caller on the line in the meantime. Fred, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Greetings.
Hi, Fred.
Back into honey production and looking at producing some honey mead. But Indiana recently had legislation pending, and the language in the law mentioned micro distilleries. Now, it's my understanding that the act of distillation is still prohibited without a federal permit, and I'm wondering if there's any information related to using mead and distillery process to use to produce a mead liqueur.
Gentlemen, any thoughts? Fred, are you talking about producing this for yourself?
Initially. And then later for gifts and potential sale.
Sure. Gentlemen, I'm not particularly clear on this, I guess, this area of the law. I would think, though, that if you're producing it for yourself, you would probably be okay. Any thoughts? Shane?
I do know you're not allowed to distill spirits in your home.
Right.
But I'm not familiar with this law going through or what legislation may be pending.
Okay. Well, Fred, I don't think we can give you a hand with it today. It might be good to get in touch with maybe the Indiana Brewers Guild, or even maybe the local homebrewers could point you in the right direction as well.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Thanks, Fred. We've got many more folks on the line here. We're trying to get to everybody, of course. Let's see here, Susan. Who do we have on the line? Let's see if we can't go. Perhaps to Bruce on line one. Bruce, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon, everyone. And beer is a great subject.
I think you'll get nothing but agreement in the studio. Welcome to the program.
I know a bunch of you folks there. And Tony, we just visited you on Friday night, if you remember. And but I get around as a draft technician for Alto, which is the Fort Wayne distributor of Bud Light and such. But you would be surprised at the variety of taps that I am seeing and people adding on. I know a place out Time Corners Way that's got to go from like 6 to 16, and Tony, you yourself have had to add on. So, but as a draft technician, you get down in all the basements and all the coolers, and it is a project that I love simply because it promotes beer, and I get to talk beer and be around beer. So I'm grateful for this the show. And I am a home brewer as well.
Well, we're very glad to hear from you, Bruce, and we appreciate the insight. Thank you.
Sure. Well, just remember, without a draft technician, those beer lines aren't clean.
That's right.
And they have to be clean, don't they? They have to be clean.
You got to keep them clean. You take care. Thanks. You take care of yourself.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bruce, we appreciate that call. Thank you so much. Let's see if we can't get maybe one more caller here before we have to say so long for this edition of the program. Let's open the phones here and go to Chase. Chase, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello?
Chase, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question. I'm a craft brew drinker myself, and my wife is not so much. And the other day, she picked up a can of hams, drank it, and loved it. and she said that it reminded her of Vietnam, because we lived there for a couple of years, and we had that nice Asian-style lager. Are there any kind of craft beers out there that might have that sort of light Asian-style flavor to it? Because I don't know if I generally want to buy hams all the time.
gentlemen, any help for Chase?
Well, I, in my younger years, drank hams, and that's a great question. I would have to say, Shane, there's got to be some out there.
I'm looking at your can that you placed and brought in here, the Sunlight Cream Ale from Sun King.
Yes. The Sun King Cream Ale. Interesting.
Sunlight Cream Ale. That would be a great place to dip your toes in the water, so to speak. It's going to have a very light taste, a little bit of body to it, perhaps a bit more than hams, but nothing. I don't think your wife's going to sprain her taste buds on, but at the same time, it introduces her to a little more flavor without being overwhelming. And it's from Indianapolis.
Yeah, that sounds great, yeah, because I know that ever since having left Vietnam, it's been hard for her to find a beer that she loves.
Well, and it sounds like a good entree here. And, of course, we just, I think Shane mentioned, just got Sun King up in the Fort Wayne area relatively recently. So supporting a Hoosier brewer as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you.
All right. Jace, we appreciate the call. And unfortunately, I don't think we'll have time to take many more calls. I do want to ask you both very briefly, what are you both looking ahead to in say, the next few months or looking forward to in terms of beers you're putting up at Deer Park? And maybe, Tony, let's start with you.
Well, right now we're talking about the Oktoberfest beers, and we're moving into the season of fall. This is the time that we start looking at the inventory, making our decision, and so we'll be rolling out all the Oktoberfest beers here probably in the next month or so, right mid-August, late August. And then, of course, we'll have a beer tasting. I have a seasonal beer tasting that will be done in early September, and we'll taste all those. And so that's what we're looking forward to as well.
Sounds good. Shane Mock, any particular favorites you're looking ahead to, either for summer or, as Tony is doing, looking ahead to fall?
To fall for summer before the fall season comes in, there's two beer events in northeast Indiana that are definitely worth noting. The first is the Brewhaven. That's going to be August 3rd at the Treon Tavern in New Haven. They're going to have over 300 beers available. Over 45 breweries will be present, so there will be great representation from the breweries themselves. And that event runs from 2 to 6 p.m. There's also a VIP ticket package if people want the VIP hour, an hour ahead of time. And again, that's August 3rd. And the other event coming is going to be the first time we're going to have it here in Fort Wayne, called Zoo Brew and Wine 2. Indianapolis and South Bend have had Zoo Brews, which are fundraisers for their respective zoos. That's going to be August 23rd. From 6 to 9 p.m. I'm really looking forward to that for a new event here for Fort Wayne.
And nothing wrong with a little, brew at the zoo. Huh?
Right.
Tony Henry from Deer Park Irish Pub, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your expertise with us.
It's a pleasure.
And Shane Mock from Five Star Distributing, we appreciate you coming back in for this final Financial Focus program as well.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Susan Burns, I know we couldn't get to everybody. We had so many folks call in at the end, but we wanted to take just a few seconds here. We've only got about a minute until the show's over to say thank you.
Yes, indeed. It's kind of one of those bittersweet moments. Tony earlier said when he heard this is our last show that he was going to be crying in his beer, which was a great line there. But anyway, I added up, and this is the 217th Tuesday since Midday Matters replaced a show that NPR was canceling called Day to Day. And in those almost 4 years, we've had hundreds of people from Fort Wayne come and be part of this show. And I just want to send out a very sincere thank you to people who gave us a whole lunch hour, but either as listeners or as guests. And to you, Sean, for being our leader and host.
I couldn't be happier to be a part of this program, Susan, and couldn't be luckier to have you as a co-host and producer, and we'll continue to work as well as the months and years roll on. Thank you so much to everybody who's listening, who called in and shared your thoughts. To all of our guests, I'm Sean Beter. This is WBOY Fort Wayne. It's 1 o'clock.